And I'm Wireless Mike. Good afternoon. Welcome back to EAA Radio. And right now I am joined with Tom Ladolce. Did I get that right?
Tim Ladolce.
Oh, Tim. I'm sorry. My notes are wrong. And Sam Bosfield. And they're from Samson Motor Works. And I hear you're trying to build the ever elusive airplane vehicle that you can use on the road. But yours is a little different.
Yeah, we have a three-wheel vehicle that's fully enclosed, but as three wheels, it's classed as a motorcycle. That allows us to fall under motorcycle manufacturing regulations, which are a lot less strict than an automobile. It allows us to get closer to the construction type of a airplane, which is lightweight construction.
Okay, that's very, very interesting. Now, if it's a motorcycle classification, how many people can fit in your on your
On the vehicle,
On
yes.
the vehicle. What do you call it?
We call it the switchblade because of the wings that swing closed underneath the belly of the aircraft.
Okay.
And they swing closed and are covered up in a clamshell door arrangement underneath there to keep the road grime and rocks and things from making them unflightworthy when you're on the ground.
Okay.
You do need to it's a two-seater, side by side. Actually, a quite wide cockpit in there. It's about 4'9" at the elbow, so that's quite wide.
Yeah, that's more than your normal 152 by far.
Right.
Right. So you got two people, and it's going to be roadworthy vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
How long is it going to...
It's about... it's bigger than most people think. It's actually a little bit longer than a Honda Civic. In between a Honda Civic and a Honda Accord is about the size of it, but it's narrower, of course. It's pointed in the front end because of the trike arrangement. It's a single wheel up front. But it looks, you know, if you look at the renderings and the model that we have on display at our outdoor booth 22 over across from IOPA's booth over there in the aircraft display area, it is sort of reminiscent of a flying Ferrari, if you can mock it up in some way like that.
Okay, and where are you in your design process? How much is on paper, or how much do you have constructed?
Right now we have on display a cutaway engineering mock-up, which shows the wing swing mechanism, shows the volume of the vehicles, something you can see how big it is. It's got seats. You're welcome to come in and sit in it, get a view of it. I have a little dyno display in there in the cockpit. Just we're looking at the dyno because they'll allow us to come in and actually put our road gauges and a road GPS on top of what they've got already software-wise, and that way we can switch from ground mode to flight mode and be seamless in the instruments. But that's what we have on display. We just passed some engineering milestones, which allowed us to validate what we have. There were some things that we needed to change, and as normally would happen, we had to swing the main wings aft 17 degrees, similar to a Long Easy and the other canard-type crafts, so that... it'd handle a stability issue that creeps up with that kind of vehicle. And a CG change by putting the battery in the nose. Other than that, we're pretty darn close to what we had originally there at Sun and Fun this last year. And so now we're launching and have about a year to go for our first flight test.
Wow, that's a very ambitious schedule to go from... you know, 1 year to try and go from essentially just mock-ups to actually building a production, or I shouldn't say a production, but a flying, you know, test bed.
Yeah, we actually have been on this for about 2 years in hard engineering work and a lot of design time. So it's not just, you know, the last few months. It's just that the last few months we went from a telescoping wing to the switchblade wing arrangement. And that kind of set us back a little bit. Otherwise, we would be a lot further along.
Now, you said this is going to be a motorcycle-rated vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to have a motorcycle license to drive it?
Yeah, a motorcycle license is actually pretty easy to get. It's just an addendum to your driver's license. You go in and take usually it's like a 15 or 19 question test. If you show up with a trike for the driving test, they sort of wave at you and say you're done, because it's usually a figure eight around some cones in the parking lot to see if you can control the motorcycle. But with a trike, that's not necessary. But... As a motorcycle, you usually get the HOV lane. Motorcycles get that automatically. In this case, you're fully enclosed with a rollover protection, so there's no helmet required in most states. So there's a lot of advantages. Because it's enclosed on the ground, air cooling, like you get up in an aircraft, you don't get that on the ground. So we had to go for air conditioning as well. So we did accept that weight penalty because a dual-use vehicle just demands it in many parts of the country.
Now, are you going to be able to classify this in the light sport category, or are you going to go for the full airplane category?
We decided that it was a little bit ambitious to even do what we're doing, period. So we didn't want to fall into that trap of, okay, now you have to hit a weight requirement. And, you know, the kit is really for us the business plan that works. And we're following in along with Cirrus and Lancer to be able to put out a kit, develop along, make sure that we have something that people really like, make sure we have the technology that really works, dial it in further. And then when we're really certain of it in the future, we'll look for the venture capital to go ahead and bring it up for certified. Perhaps a single-seat LSA might be in the works, but we have to see that there's a market for that. I don't think we did get a two-seat LSA doing what we're trying to do. We might.
Too many mechanisms in there to convert, go back and forth, to make it, which adds weight,
yeah,
which makes it harder to hit that target weight for the LSA.
For now, we'll just be experimental, put out a fast-build kit, give the people an option of engines and drivetrain mechanisms. Right now we have four engines and that we're looking at. More than one will be available in the end. We'll also have several avionics packages that will mate with whatever engine. Aspen Avionics has approached, and so has several other of the avionics corporations that are interested in the project.
What kind of horsepower engines are you looking at putting in this?
Well, we need a minimum of about 150 horsepower. In fact, just right now, Rotaway came up to us, and I guess they announced a new engine that they brought out. It's a little 160, 180 horse engine that only weighs 160 some pounds.
That's a
wonderful
thruster.
So we're going to talk to them real soon. But that's our horsepower range is in that 150 range. We're looking at the Hayabusa, also a Yamaha engine, a Freedom engine that's a Wankel engine, rotary engine, that puts out a lot of horsepower for very little weight. That's definitely coming down the road. And then as a standard for most of us that makes most pilots feel good, we're looking at and will most likely be the most favorite engine for now, will be a IO 320 that Lycoming puts out on a diet. They approached us yesterday, told us about this new engine. They did a IO 235 and lowered the weight on that by 35, 40 pounds by taking off the mags and going to electronic ignition and some other areas. And now they're doing that with the 320, and we're going to be talking further with them.
Well, that's a wide range of engines that you're making available for this thing and testing. Is that going to complicate your process, making so many engines, working with so many engines?
I don't think that it is. The engine bay is a pretty large engine bay. We originally went into this knowing that kit builders like to use different things, and the idea for us is to create the options or the availability of something, the space to do it in. So those systems are not that hard to make work. The basic system, the basic propeller shaft and all that will mate with any of these engines, and we've already kind of worked out that package in the firewall, backwards package for us. The engine sits behind the passenger compartment, and this is a ducted fan pusher design.
Ducted fan. So there's going to be no external blades then?
No, the blades are, it's a 34-inch diameter ducted fan. It's a what's called a bifurcated inlet duct. It's not as clean as a free ducted fan would be. It's out in free air, and we realized that going into it. But just for the packaging of it, we had to stick it in behind the passengers. That was a decision made early on for mainly some safety calls and also quiet. We want to bring in new pilots here, so we want to be able to go in and make this a friendly at the airport type vehicle. So we went for the ducted fan so we could quiet things down.
That sounds like a very unique design that probably not very many airplanes have.
That is true. But there are ducted fans which have been tested even with this Wankel engine and have produced more thrust than we need. So it's not something that hasn't been tested and proven.
Oh, it sounds very like an interesting vehicle, and I'm going to definitely have to come down and take a look at what you guys have. And where were you located again?
Outdoor Booth 22, right by AOPA on the corner of Hangar C.
Oh, well, that's definitely, I'm going to have to come down there and see what we can find. We thank you for coming in, and this has been Tim LaDolce. There we go. And
there you go.
Sam Bolesfield.
We'll
and
make an honorary Paizon out of you.
Out of Samson Motors, and you're listening to EAA Radio.
Thanks so much.